Her other choices were much less appealing. She might be a shop assistant, a clerk, a telegraphist, or a nurse. But all these occupations were more suitable for an ambitious lower-class woman than a firmly established gentlewoman of quality. If a young woman refused such demeaning work, her spinsterhood implied a considerable financial burden upon the household. Miss Emily Downing observed that the daughters of professional men cannot but feel themselves a burden and a drag on the hard-won earnings of their fathers. They must know, if they allow themselves to think at all, that they are a constant cause of anxiety, and that should they not get married, there is every probability of their being, sooner or later, obliged to enter the battle of life utterly unprepared and unfitted for the fight. In short, there was intense pressure for marriage, any sort of decent marriage, felt by fathers and daughters alike. The Victorians tended to marry relatively late, in their 20s or 30s. But Mr. Edgar Trent had a daughter, Elizabeth, now 29, and of wholly marriageable condition, meaning somewhat past her prime. It could not have escaped Mr. Trent's attention that the red-bearded gentleman might be in need of a wife. The gentleman himself expressed no reluctance to marry, but rather had indicated that the exigencies of business had kept him from pursuing personal happiness. Thus, there was no reason to believe that this well-dressed, evidently well-to-do young man with a sporting instinct might not be drawn to Elizabeth. With this in mind, Mr. Trent contrived to invite Mr. Pierce to his house in Brook Street for Sunday tea, on the pretext of discussing the purchase of a fighting dog from Mr. Pierce. Mr. Pierce, somewhat reluctantly, accepted the invitation.
This ends Disc 2.